It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic, and also with us from NDNation.com, Mike Coffey. Ed, I'm going to start with you since you didn't do the last show. But, you know, I was going to ask the exact same question of you that I was going to say before the game had we done it. But my question was going to be, what's going to be an unacceptable number in terms of a win? No one, there's no way we're going to lose the game to Florida State. We all knew that. The question was, are you going to be upset if the win isn't the kind of win you're looking for? Something like 45-25. So in any event, I mean, do you think it's a bad win? The 40, I mean, we gave up 25 points, but is it really that big of a deal?
Well, you know, I kind of tend to agree with coaches like Brian Kelly, who say winning is tough and all wins are good wins. But I did go in with expectations that it would, that this sort of little package here would be very similar to the first two games of the season. You know, there was a little bit of struggle against Duke, a little bit of rustiness, a little bit of trying to find the footing. And then obviously South Florida, you know, Notre Dame looked much more polished, and they made that jump from week one to week two that we always used to hear Lou Holtz talk about, and that a lot of coaches talk about, where most of the progress is made. So because of the, you know, significant time off, I was kind of thinking that there would be, and it kind of turned out that way, right? There were parts, you know, special teams and the fumble in the first play, and, you know, tackling was poor, and, you know, some things that, you know, the phrase that every coach uses these days, that stuff needs to get cleaned up. I love that. It needs to get cleaned up. Yeah, so you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, if this Saturday sort of is similar in terms of quality of play. I don't know about the score. I think Louisville's better than Florida State, maybe significantly better. But I think, you know, we'll see a higher quality, a higher level of play this Saturday than we did last Saturday. Does that make any sense? I kind of like compare the...
No, I think you're right. Yeah, and I think you're dead on with that. Coffey, I'm going to assume you're going to say somewhat the same thing. I mean, look, I going into the game, if you said what's the prediction, I was going to say like 45-17, and I thought the 17 was going to be a late score and mop-up time by then.
You didn't know it was going to be in the first quarter.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, to Ed's point, I mean, who would have thought we would have fumbled a punt? Who would have thought that, you know, we'd have a turnover from the two running backs that have, or from, you know, Williams, who's been phenomenal this year. But, you know, having said all that, it wasn't like it was all bad. I mean, when's the last time we had two running backs average over 9 yards a carry?
No, it was definitely a positive. As I said on social media, I've been waiting for 11 years to see an offense like this. Just nice balance, good quality blocking, good running on the ground. I think when a team is off for 3 weeks, the way Notre Dame was, I mean, it's inevitable you're going to see regression. I mean, they looked great against South Florida, granted an overmatched opponent, and Florida State's a lot more athletic than South Florida is. But I think it's really hard to judge what we saw last week, what parts were because of the layoff and what parts weren't. I think, well, I mean, granted, the good stuff obviously was the good stuff, but it'll be interesting to see this week going into Louisville. Does the tackling improve with a full week of practice and a full week of hitting and maybe guys being a lot more focused? Or do we continue to have issues? So I think if Notre Dame can turn around and put together the high-quality game we saw against USF, then, okay, Florida State was a blip. But that's going to be probably the most important question to answer on Saturday is – how does the defense look, and is the quality better? Because that'll be a better sign for down the stretch.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I tend to agree with you. There were some tackling that was a kind of scratch your head. But who knows if, you, like you say, whether that's rustiness from being 3 weeks off, or I like the idea of playing 6 days later after that win, just because, like you say, you get in that mode of the typical norm, which is, all right, we're going to hit this week, and, you know, we're going to get in our motion. But, Ed, hopefully I'm not completely whiffing on this, but where was Austin? I mean, going into the game, I was all excited about seeing him, and he didn't even play. Did I miss something?
Yeah, he played, I think, a couple downs. They threw a deep ball to him that wasn't, I think it was, he was double covered. It wasn't a, you know, listen, I mean, this is sort of the pattern, right, that we have with players coming back from injury. You know, we kind of, you know, Brian Kelly tends to sort of say, okay, you know, they're ready to go, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we're going to try and get them 15 to 20 plays. And it doesn't really pan out that way. You know, we were told that, that the kid from Northwestern, the graduate transfer, was ready to go, and he didn't play a single down. And it sounds like, you know, his injury is nagging and stuff. So there's always a little, you got to take this kind of stuff with a grain of salt, especially coming back from an injury like that. So I actually wasn't really surprised that Austin's, thing was limited, and it didn't bother me, because I think it's allowed Javon McKinley to emerge. And listen, I don't care if they don't throw to a wide receiver the rest of the freaking year. Just keep dragging Michael Mayer across the middle, because the Ken McAfee and Dean Mastak flashbacks that I'm getting just make me, I mean, you think Mike Coffey liked the offense, for the first time in 11 years. You know, I was having 40-year back flashbacks seeing Michael Mayer. But, I think that, you know, we have to be really patient with Kevin Austin. You just don't sort of roll out after an injury like that, you know, and become Chase Claypool. I mean, this is sort of, you know, I think that if over the next 3 weeks, you know, that he's got to get the ball in his hands a couple times. This is obviously a sort of a run-oriented offense right now. It's going to be very, very interesting how successful we are against Pitt, which has a top two or three, I think, running defense in the country. I think that's a great test leading up to the Clemson game, to just sort of measure ourselves against a good running team that will probably try and take that away from us and force Ian Book to loosen things up and hit receivers and hit tight ends down the field. So I think the slate of games leading up to November 7th really sort of works in Notre Dame's favor. And if Kevin Austin is a 15 to 20 play, 20, 25 play a game guy by the time Clemson rolls around, I will have considered that a success. And I think then he'll have a chance to, you know, to make a big play here or there in that most important game in the next, probably this season, or at least for the next month.
I'm with you. I was just excited just because I'd heard so many good things about him and his connection with Book in terms of supposedly how much time they spent over the summer and how much they got acclimated. So I was anxious because I just felt like, you know what, that's probably the one spot that's maybe the weakest, if you can call it that, on the offense.
Well, you're just totally in the tank for all those Florida guys. If somebody's from south of Tallahassee, you're like, you know, I mean,
no surprise there. But you know, I will say this. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I was trying to think to myself, you know, I think of when we were there, right? Tony Brooks and Ricky Waters, that I thought were two backs in the backfield that were like top notch. Like, when's the last time we had two just unbelievable backs? And Coffee, from the standpoint of what kind of offense this can be, I think Ed's dead right. It's going to be real interesting against Pitt, because I think we are going to be able to run the football with these two guys. And I think with Book taking a little bit of pressure off himself, not having to be the guy constantly to deliver every single game, now he's going to have some openings because of these guys.
No, absolutely.
And running game's that good.
I agree. I think, I'm sure, say that Pitt is real good against the run. I'm sure they've got a good defense. And it will be interesting. So there was an article came out today that Pitt is going to allow fans in the stands for the Notre Dame game. So not only will that be the first road game of the season, but it's not going to be an empty stadium. There's going to be people in there. So this should be this certainly shall be interesting. But I think Notre Dame represents a test that Pitt hasn't seen so far this season.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think if Pitt's still number one against the run after Notre Dame plays, okay, then they're legit. But this early in the season with no non-conference games played and with all the weirdness going on, I think it remains to be seen whether they can slow down an offense, at least the kind of the Tommy Reese offense that we're seeing.
Well, they got so Miami this weekend, right?
Yes, they do. So maybe this will be a good test also.
Yeah, we'll get a sense. Exactly. So that'll be interesting. But
of course, I'm not convinced Miami's all that good either. I mean, because until they play Clemson, they really hadn't played anybody. So
no, they haven't. But they got athletes. I mean, Miami definitely has athletes. They've out recruited the other schools, I think, the last couple of years. So at least down here in Florida. So they got athletes, but yeah, they're not quite there yet. Ed, I just was going to actually make the comment about the play where Mayer came across the middle, caught it, and then had the presence of mind to actually leap over the oncoming DB within like half a second. I mean, it must've been more than that. It maybe was a second and a half, but still, I think that play alone shows the ridiculous athleticism of this guy. And I mean to me, he's like a big, huge wide receiver. I couldn't believe he did that. And a guy that's a true freshman, you got Tyree in the backfield, a true freshman. And there's one other true freshman that's who am I escaping? That's I had it in the back of my mind that another stud that we've got, which, you know, again, it just goes to show the kind of recruiting that we've had over the years, and then back it up with, you know, if we get this 2021 class that we think that we're going to get, it could be pretty special for the next 3 years here.
Well, it's two things. I mean, I think when you watch a guy like Michael Mayer, I think it's a sort of a validation of the star system. I mean, you know, if 5 stars are handed out to players that are able to come in right away and impact, you know, dramatically at the sort of the top 10 college football level, then that's what you got, right? That's he looks the part. He plays, you know, he's got not just great hands and not just the physicalness, but he's got the balance. He makes those plays that we've seen, you know, where he's gotten first downs when you think he's going to be a couple yards short. And you know, the pass that he caught in traffic Saturday was something special. But I have to say that I think that, like, one of the things that I like about this team is there's definitely sort of a different, it seems to me anyways, and maybe this is Tommy Reese's influence, maybe this is just an experienced offensive line, but there seems to be another level of toughness and physicality. I think that, you know, Notre Dame's had some good running teams in the past because they've had very good lines, but sort of, you know, okay running backs, and they've had some good, you know, some good running teams in the past because they've had a couple of great running backs and, you know, okay offensive lines. But this seems to be a combination of the two. And you notice that I'm really surprised actually with how sort of Tyree, his physicality and how big he is. He's not a scat back by any stretch. He's willing to take it, between the tackles. And Williams, it just seems like Notre Dame's running game, you know, having that guy that gets that extra yard and a half, 2 yards, that has that sense of sort of where to fall forward and how to fall forward, you know, that's what makes the difference between, you know, being in the game again in the fourth quarter against Clemson and, you know, losing 30-10. I mean, that's the kind of thing that makes the difference between being a playoff team or an almost getting to the playoff and not. And so that to me is really encouraging because it's not just gaining those yards rushing. It's how you're doing it. So again, there's still a lot of tests to be taken. And I know that, you know, we tend to sort of get a little bit ahead of ourselves when it comes to Notre Dame football. But the way that the offense plays is really encouraging because it just seems like they have a level of toughness that sort of exceeds some years past. And you know.
And you assume that's only going to get better, too, you know, as we get a couple more games underneath our belt. You know, that was one of the things I was going to ask. I'm kind of curious, Coffey, because I think we talked about this at the end of last year, just the idea of going with Tommy Rees. Was that a settle? Was that, you know, this guy is obviously pretty young, but, I mean, it's only three games in, but I'm kind of impressed with him, to be honest with you. I mean, I thought he made some great second half adjustments in the first game against Duke. I think he's shown that I like it. I like what we're seeing. He's obviously sticking with what he knows works, but still, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do, to come in and call plays at this kind of a level, at this kind of a program. And it just goes to show that maybe Tommy is the guy that has been calling plays since he was a freshman on the line of scrimmage, and it's no different when you're up in the booth. But I kind of like it so far.
I think he's putting players in a position to succeed, which is good. Not to really lay on the cliches, but you know, everyone's playing within themselves. There's no one is being asked to do anything that's going to lead to mistakes. And that doesn't mean the offense is conservative. I think we're seeing a lot more misdirection. We're seeing a lot more the plays are more broad, and I think that's part of what's leading to our success, is that you can't necessarily focus on one area, on one guy. I mean, they're spreading everything out. There's a lot of people who can hurt you. Now, I would love it if Ian Book could get a better touch on those long passes. I think that's the kind of thing that Clemson's going to take advantage of. I mean, 2 years ago, this is the same thing, that basically they're going to move everybody up and say, hey, you think you can throw over us? Go for it. And,
hey, let's start with having him get a better touch on the short passes.
Yeah, that would help as well, obviously. But
no doubt.
I like the balance of the offense. I like the misdirection. I like the and now, of course, the other thing is, when adversity hits, do we keep running the football, or is it time to air it out again? I certainly hope it's the former, but you know, that's where, when the rubber meets the road, that's really what's going to tell. And hopefully we get at least a taste of that before Clemson comes in, because I'd like to see the team maybe deal with a little bit of adversity and show they can handle it before going up against number one ranked team at home.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, Ed, so I want to get your prediction on the game Saturday. I mean, obviously, Louisville's 1-3, so, you know, probably not the Louisvilles that we've seen in the past couple of years, but nonetheless, there is some talent over there. And, you know, I expect it to be, like you say, kind of close in the beginning, but I would assume in the second half we're going to pull away. Maybe not by a huge, I mean, the line, I think, is 17 at the moment, but still, you would assume that we end up pulling away. I mean, what's your prediction and why?
Well, I always like it when a well-coached unit with a track record of sound fundamentals and sort of good play, when they slip a little bit, you know, and you know, so the defense didn't play all that great last week, and I think that works to Clark Lee's advantage. I think when you're able to show Phil, you know, when you're able to sort of say, guys, you know, this isn't our standard. This isn't how we roll. You know, he's created a culture of a real pride in, you know, in tackling, in doing the little things right. So I do think they miss MTA in the middle of the line. He's a very valuable piece that sometimes gets overlooked. He does a lot of good things that sort of go unrecognized, and the guys that step in his place are good football players. But he's definitely a cut above them on the interior, so I think that hurts a little bit. But I think that, you know, they'll win like 45-14. You know, I don't think Louisville is all that great defensively, certainly not against the run. And I think the defense sort of will feel challenged after last week. Louisville's a talented offensive team with good players at the skill positions, especially running backs and receivers, and their quarterback is decent. I mean, they could easily be 3-1 instead of 1-3. You know, they've had a lot of turnovers from what I've seen, and you know, those are killers. So if they don't turn the ball over, then it could end up being a pretty interesting game. But I do think the defense is going to play significantly better than it did last week, make life difficult for Louisville. And it might be one of those games that we sort of saw in years past where, you know, you're tight. It's tight at halftime, relatively tight. Clark Lee makes adjustments. Louisville does very little in the second half. And Notre Dame's offensive line sort of takes over and wears them down. So it's like 21-14 at halftime, and the final is like 42-17 or something like that. But I'll say 45-15.
Okay. Well, since you went with that number, and that's almost my exact number, I was going to say 45-17, and I do think it'll be a garbage score in the end of the fourth quarter that they score. So, Coffee, what do you think?
Anything different than that? I picked 45-12 in our site poll. So, I mean, I think the defense is going to benefit from a full week of practice and being back to full strength. And the latest report is that there's nobody in quarantine, nobody in isolation. It's all – everyone's back, everyone's rolling. I think the offense is going to continue the role that it's on. I think Kevin Austin's getting involved this week. I think he's going to – I'm looking for at least two nice long pass plays to him. At least one for a touchdown, because I think the getting him in last week might have been tougher. First week off the injury, McKinley playing so well, but I think there's going to be a focus this week on getting him involved, because as you said, I mean, he's got to be ready for. He's a weapon we need for Clemson, and this is a perfect time to at least try to get him a decent number of touches. So.
Okay, screw it. Louisville with the upset, 30-26. I'm not. There's no way.
Somebody's got to break out of this. All three of us are having the same score.
Yeah, I'll go with Louisville with the upset, 30-26. There we go.
Okay, yeah, that'll put a tamper on the season real quick. You know, I do. Last thing I am going to point to is just I was going to talk about this at the previous show, but it was kind of a little shocking to be seen. Books struggle so much with some of these short passes that you just didn't assume you'd see, you know, with especially these shorter crossing routes where it just doesn't seem like he's comfortable in that situation. And I don't know, it's just weird. You know, I some of these are balls that are just not well thrown at all. One in particular that stands out to me is the drop that Tremble had. And you, at first glance, you thought it was a drop of him. But then when you see the replay, it's like, wait a minute, why did you throw it that hard? There's nobody around him. Like, why are you trying to zip it in there? And it was way out in front of him. And I think Tremble was just assuming that the ball was going to be right in his gut. There's nobody around him. But that has been a little surprising. And it hasn't really crept up too much. I mean, he had a much better game against Florida State. But, you know, against Clemson, we're going to need – every bit of his accuracy if we even think we have a shot at beating those guys.
You know, I think they'll be sharper this weekend. I mean, even the great Kyle Hamilton was a little bit sloppy, you know, this past Saturday. So, you know, there's a lot. There's still, you know, it's again, I think that that Brian Kelly and this team, you know, they were so focused on just fielding a team, first of all, right? And just having players to compete. It sounds like that they've turned that corner, although the rest of the campus appears to be backsliding as COVID numbers go up for the third or fourth day in a row. But, you know, some of those guys, you know, Notre Dame has a very good blend this year of experience and youth. And they've got the experience in the right places, offensive line, you know, quarterback, you know, safety and defensive line, and you know, great places to have youth: receiver, running back, you know, linebacker. But so there's. I think it's a good mix. But I think they'll be sharper. They'll be much sharper, and hopefully that'll carry over, and they'll have everybody. I think because they're going to need everybody available for the next month. You know, they're going to need everybody playing and practicing. So.
Yeah, I'm all for a win and just everybody being healthy coming out of this game. That would be huge. So, anyways, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanik and Mike Coffey, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.